Welcome to this episode of the Mind of the Escapist podcast. This is a podcast centered around film, video games, television, anime, and more. I'm your host, Terrell. In today's episode, I'll be reviewing M. Night Shyamalan's latest film, Knock at the Cabin, which has just opened in cinemas. This will be a spoiler-free review. Now, what I'll say about M. Night Shyamalan, just to give you a quick overview with how I view him as a filmmaker, I think he's a very underappreciated filmmaker that actually gets quite a lot of disrespect from a lot of people. He has made some films that have been unsuccessful in terms of audience reception. The Last Airbender, The Happening, After Earth, films like that. But something that I really appreciate about M. Night Shyamalan and why I do really appreciate him as a filmmaker is he's still an important voice in cinema, in my opinion. And he is still, in my opinion, one of the most influential filmmakers of the last 20 plus years. And I think he is very important, and he's delivered so much to the medium in those 20 years with the films that he's made, and they've had a great impact. And I just think there's a lot of directors that consistently make bad films and don't even really show any promise of making something great, and they receive less blowback than someone like Shyamalan, who, what I appreciate about him once again is the fact that he takes big swings. You know, if he wants to create something, wants to challenge himself with something, he's not afraid to do that. And I can always appreciate a creative mind who will strive to challenge themselves, but also to make something different. And even if it fails, the fact that they attempted it in the first place is something that I think is quite commendable and deserving of respect. And I think that over the years, this reputation has formed against Shyamalan, and he hasn't been able to fully shake it off, and people have this kind of assumption when it comes to his work. And I think it's kind of an unfair view that some people put upon him. And when you really look at some of the iconic things that he's brought to cinema and through his films, I think he's just not deserving of that type of constant criticism and negativity. So I do like to champion M. Night Shyamalan. You know, and like I said, some of his, I don't like to get negative, but some of his films, The Last Airbender in particular, might be, you know, among the worst adaptations I've ever seen. But I can ignore that because there's so much more in his filmography that I appreciate and like and love to a degree. So that's my thoughts on Shyamalan as a whole. But coming into this film, I think he's been on quite a bit of a hot streak in recent years. Of course, he made his return, quote marks, his return with The Visit, which I think came out back in 2015. And he's kind of been on this interesting run. And this is something that's, you know, worthy of a lot of praise and admiration as well, which a lot of people don't know about. Since The Visit, he's basically self-funded all of the films he's made since then. And those films have been massive successes and generated so much money at the box office that he's kind of been able to continue creating films, writing and directing films on his own terms. And I think that's something that's quite unique. Even some of, you know, the biggest filmmakers working today aren't financing the films themselves. So I think that is something worthy of admiration. And Knock at the Cabin is the latest from him. Now, Knock at the Cabin isn't an original screenplay from M. Night Shyamalan. I just want to make that clear. It's actually an adaptation of a novel that came out in 2018 called The Cabin at the End of the World. It's written by Paul G. Tremblay. And this film itself stars Dave Bautista, Jonathan Groff, Ben Aldridge, and Abby Quinn, as well as Rupert Grint, actually, of course, from Harry Potter. And I haven't read the book that this story is based upon, but I'll get into it a bit later. I have read descriptions of the second half of the book, and that relates into certain changes that M. Night Shyamalan made from the book. And I'll still keep it spoiler-free, but I'll get into that a little later on. I'm going to read the synopsis of this film, because this is a film I went into this not really knowing a whole lot, to be honest, aside from the basic premise that the teaser trailer showed, because I only watched that teaser that was initially released, and I don't think I watched the main trailer, so I didn't really know much about this film at all. And I think it's better that way, to watch it a bit blind. So the synopsis is essentially, a family of three are vacationing at a remote cabin, but they're suddenly held hostage by four strangers who demand they sacrifice one of their own to avert the apocalypse. It's a film that thematically is primarily about faith and religion and what one chooses to believe in. Those are the key themes of the film itself. And the film, at times, in terms of its narrative and how it handles those themes, it feels very biblical. And that, me saying that, may immediately turn some people off, especially if you're atheist. But I just think we don't get enough films that tackle themes of faith in a way like this. And I found that very intriguing. Now, I am Christian, so for me personally, potentially, well, yeah, I'm in that regard, maybe I'm a bit biased in the sense that because I am Christian, I am intrigued by faith and how that's portrayed through certain stories. And, you know, if you pepper in certain religious themes, that is going to kind of draw my attention, especially in a film of this genre, you know, a kind of psychological thriller. I think that is quite appealing to me in some ways, if done correctly. And I didn't necessarily know that the film was going to be focusing so heavily on those themes, but I think it is better for it. But I also think those themes are the source of potentially the biggest issue of the film at the same time, which I'll get onto a bit later. But in terms of how the film's shot, it's shot with a lot of creativity, and I think this is once again something to do with M. Night Shyamalan and the cinematographers that he picks for his films. Interestingly enough, I watched an interview, and actually this film was actually shot by two different directors of photography, which is quite rare. There's one called Lowell A. Mayer, and the other one's called Jared Blaschke, I think that's how you pronounce his name. Both of whom worked on The Servant, which is Apple TV's series that's produced by M. Night Shyamalan. And yeah, both of them actually worked with him on this film. One of them was primarily shooting all the outdoor exterior stuff in the film, and the other one was doing all the interior stuff within the cabin. So it's quite interesting to have two different cinematographers working on the two different aspects of the film in that regard, in terms of location, because this is one of those films that's kind of self-contained to one location for the most part. And what I'll say about how it is shot is it's got that type of creative flair that I've grown accustomed to and expected from M. Night Shyamalan in recent years, because ever since he came back with The Visit, but in particular with Split, it felt like M. Night Shyamalan was creatively rejuvenated, and he was handling these films in ways that even his younger self wasn't tackling them, in terms of how he was, the creative and filmmaking choices that he was making to actually display and tell these stories to the audience. The mise-en-scene in this film is ripe for deeper analysis. Like, from everything from the shot selection to the way the characters are framed within these shots, which is often not in the center, where the focus lies in the shots. A lot of the times there's certain shots where the focus is kind of not on the prominent figure in the foreground, and it's just lurking toward the background. There's some very interesting choices across the board in terms of how the whole film was shot. And that in itself really gives an energy to this film that draws you in. It really drew me into the experience. It was very striking, it was different, and that definitely amplified and enhanced the experience overall. This is a thriller, of course, and M. Night Shyamalan can be very good with thrillers. He's made some of the best thrillers of this century, and I was actually quite surprised at how tense a lot of the sequences in this film are. They're the type of sequences that kind of have you transfixed on the screen, and your eyes are kind of glued to the screen due to the level of intensity that is kind of built between the character interactions and the writing. And what I will say is the performances here are strong from the whole cast. Everyone delivers, and that is a real great attribute to this film in terms of making sure that it maintains its level of intensity and your engagement with it. And Dave Bautista's fantastic here, and what I like about Dave Bautista a lot is you can see the growth in him as an actor. And I think he personally is the best actor to come from the WWE, because I think he's treating the craft with a real respect. And not to say that other actors from WWE don't do that, but with him, especially if you watch his interviews, he's very humble, he's free of ego, he has no ego, and he often showcases vulnerability in his interviews and talks about his fears as an actor, trying to break into Hollywood and trying to be seen in a different light, not just as the wrestler or just as an action hero, but where he can get those serious roles that will actually stretch his acting talents and allow him to grow and improve, so that he can then work towards obtaining the roles that he truly desires. I really admire that about him. And this, I believe, is his first leading role in a film. And I thought he handled it very well. There's a lot of depth and nuance to his performance. And it allows you to kind of get a feeling of empathy with his character, despite his character on the surface feeling like someone that would be very one note or one dimensional. I think he brings a lot of three dimensionality to the character as a whole with the way that he performs it. Jonathan Groff and Ben Aldrich, they play a couple, and they have a child, a younger girl, and they're essentially the family that are kind of vacationing away in this cabin before things start to take a turn for the worse. And I thought them two were great, and they had great chemistry between them, and a lot of the intensity and fear that's driven through the narrative is conveyed through their characters initially. And a lot of the film and the script focuses on how this scenario affects them as a couple, but also because they're the ones responsible for the decision that could potentially save the world, it really does give a platform for these actors to really perform. And I thought both of them really delivered with their performances in differing ways, dependent on, you know, the different journeys and the different moments that their characters experience, both together and separately throughout that script. And the child actor was great as well, I thought. M. Night Shyamalan's got a way with children, because he tends to get very good performances out of his child actors. And the child actor in this film, she was very good. The rest of the actors that round out the cast, I thought were all very good as well. It felt like everyone was on... had a solid understanding of this script and what was expected of them in their roles and what level of intensity to bring, what level of emotion to bring. And I think even, you know, the entire cast, and it's kind of rare that you get this in a film sometimes, but I felt the entire cast of this film brought an edge of emotion to the film. Each character's got their own sort of emotional conflict that they're battling due to this situation that they're in. So the script allows for every single actor in the film to really actually display that through their performance, which I think is quite rare to have a cast, even though it's a small cast, but to still have a cast of, you know, potentially 8 people, still have their moments to really display their performance like that, I think is quite impressive. Now, structurally, this film bounces between the present and the past. Now, certain sequences are basically bookended by a quick and brief flashback, which all tend to highlight aspects of the relationship between the family. That's what those flashbacks focus on and kind of flesh out and give more context to, is this family that are caught up in this situation. Now, the scenes themselves and what happens within those sequences, for the most part, do serve purpose. I'm not too sure how I feel about the placement of them and when they come within the story. And they don't harm the pacing in any way, because this film is quite a... Once it gets going, which is pretty immediate, the film really does kind of start off right in the situation almost. The pace doesn't really slow down ever in this film, actually. It's got quite a brisk pace in that regard. But the only little breather you get throughout is with these flashbacks, which I can imagine were a creative choice to kind of break that intense flow of the film. Because I don't know if M. Night was thinking from a perspective of he doesn't want the film to be too intense for such an extended period of time, so that he used these flashbacks to kind of break that up and to give the audience a little bit of a breather in between certain key sequences. The score within this film was very effective at amplifying the suspense in key sequences. Like I said, this film is a very tense film at times, impressively so. It's been a while since I've seen a film that can ratchet up the tension like this one does. The last film I can think of actually is probably Barbarian. That film was very suspenseful. It's not necessarily on the level of that film overall, but in terms of just generating suspense and having you locked into what you're experiencing, I think it was impressive in that regard. And at times, and this may sound crazy for me to say, but at times, especially with the way that the camera was moving, because once again, the cinematography is so great in this film, it's not just a case of the shot selection and how shots are framed, but it's also the way the camera's moving and flowing throughout this cabin in certain sequences and bouncing from actor to actor. It's really creative and really, really genius how it's done. And it all kind of amplifies that suspenseful feeling of the narrative as it unfolds. But I did get a sense of Hitchcock within this film, which may sound crazy to some people, but it did cross my mind, so I'm only being honest. As I was watching certain scenes of this film and the way that the tension was handled, I just felt that it felt very reminiscent in some ways of some of Hitchcock's, not necessarily his techniques, but just the overall feeling that's created by what Hitchcock was able to do with suspense in some of his films. And although that does sound crazy to say out loud, I think, once again, it goes back to M. Night Shyamalan, and just when you do recognize and appreciate how great of a filmmaker he actually is, it suddenly doesn't seem that crazy to say that, because he has been great at working with suspense, and that's why he was a master of thrillers at times. You know, people viewed him as that for a reason, you know, because he was very good at it. And I think in this film, he just displays a very restrained but very focused skill of generating suspense and maintaining it for a specific amount of time, whilst also kind of leaving room for the actors to really bounce off each other. Because at times, the film, the way that the actors interact with each other, at times it feels like you're watching a play, because you're kind of, you feel like you're in the scene with the actors. At times you don't feel like you're watching a film, you feel like you're in the room with them. And I think that's a very impressive feat to achieve with a film like this. Now, I won't go into detail about these scenes specifically, because I can't, because of spoilers, but there are certain moments within this film, certain sequences, very brief sequences that you witness. Sometimes just you witness it through news footage. It reminded me very much and felt very reminiscent of the scenes that I consider to be memorable within The Happening. Now, some people might hear me mention The Happening and say there's scenes that remind me of The Happening and immediately think of negative things. I'm saying this in a good way, because in my opinion, I don't like The Happening as a whole, and I don't think it's a great film as a whole. But there are some moments, brief moments within The Happening that have always stuck with me. And there's a scene, not to go on a tangent, but there's a scene in The Happening I remember where someone dies whilst driving, and there's this long shot that tracks a car as it crashes into a tree and the body flies out the window. Very haunting, very disturbing. And there's other moments in The Happening as well. I always think of the scene where everyone's committing suicide and just walking off the top of the buildings in The Happening. There's moments of, like, I wouldn't say shocking moments, but they're moments that generate a sense of dread and are somewhat conceptually scary to consider. And those moments in this film reminded me of those memorable moments in The Happening. And once again, I think that's something that M. Night Shyamalan's very good with. Although The Happening wasn't great overall, when it comes to just creating a sense of dread and portraying things on screen that are very unsettling, I think M. Night Shyamalan can do that very well, and he displays it within this film. Also, the way that certain moments are depicted through video camera footage or footage that you see on the news, the way that was handled once again felt reminiscent in some ways of some of the iconic moments from Signs, which is a film that I loved growing up and that scared me growing up. So once again, it almost felt like, you know, you could see different aspects of some of Shyamalan's older work shine through in this film in some interesting ways. But let me get onto the negatives of this film, because my big negative of this film is to do with its themes. Now, at the top of this review, I did say how the film focuses on religion and faith and what people choose to believe in. And I like that. I like that choice. And I kind of like the direction the film was seemingly going in for the majority of its runtime. But where my issue is I feel like the film itself flirts with two ideas throughout its runtime. And it tries to make you, the audience member, pick a side in what you believe in, just like the characters are forced to try and pick a side in what they believe in. The issue is, my mind was pretty set from the start at what I thought was going on, and it wasn't ever swayed. So although these characters were kind of going back and forth, this family were going back and forth, and the film was clearly trying to make the audience doubt certain things and question certain things, I never really did. I felt like I had a firm grasp of what was going on. And it turns out what I thought was going on was the case. But my issue is it could have left things for interpretation, especially within its climax. But instead, it gives a definitive answer. And for me, the definitive answer was unsatisfactory because it was exactly what I thought it was. And what I'll also say is I feel like the film lacked a satisfying thematic payoff within its conclusion. There's a lot of great suspense in this film, like I've said. And it builds and it builds and it builds throughout the film. And honestly, like, there's aspects of the climax I do like. Certain performances from certain actors that I do like. But it's literally within the last, like, 5 to 10 minutes of the film, potentially just literally the last 5 minutes, where I feel like it just falls apart and doesn't deliver on all that suspense and all those thematic things it's trying to explore earlier on in the film by the end. And I think it's a great shame, because I think this could have been a really impactful and thought-provoking film if it nailed that thematic payoff in its climax. But in my opinion, it didn't, and I think it really hurt the film. Not in a sense that, you know, performances are still great, the suspense is still great, but in terms of the narrative and where it just eventually goes. And I think this is one of, you know, of course, M. Night Shyamalan is, you know, notorious for his endings. They're always a talking point in this film, usually. Usually there's always a twist and things like that. And I don't go into his films expecting a twist anymore, because I think that's a bit unfair, because sometimes if you go in expecting something and you don't get it, it can just negatively affect your opinion, when, you know, that's not fair on the artist to just expect that from them all the time. So it's not the case of there potentially being a twist or potentially not being a twist. That's not my issue. It's just more so in the sense that I just don't think it really fulfilled its potential with where it was going, which is a shame. So in terms of actual climaxes, the last act, for the most part, is actually pretty good. But the final 5 to 10 minutes, like I said, I think is on the slightly weaker side of M. Night Shyamalan endings, which is a shame. And interestingly enough, out of curiosity, and of course I'm still keeping this review spoiler free, so I won't say anything spoiler, but out of curiosity, after I'd watched the film, I read a description of the book's ending. Because I was aware that apparently M. Night Shyamalan made some changes to this story, and that's why he said that's why he didn't want to give it the same name as the book, because he was making it his own and giving it his own interpretation of that story. So I read the description of the book's ending, and I have to say, there's actually quite a few changes that he made in the film that stretch further back in the narrative. So from like almost the halfway point of the book onwards is quite different to what he does from the halfway point of this film onwards. But I have to say, I prefer the book's ending and how the book handles its themes compared to what M. Night Shyamalan did and the changes he made. And I think one key aspect of that in general, while still keeping it spoiler free, of course, is in the film, like I said, you kind of get a definitive answer by the end of the film. So out of the two things that the film is trying to bounce you between as an audience member and make you think about and decide between and almost put you in the position of the characters in terms of what your faith and what you believe in, out of those two things, by the end of the film, you do get a definitive answer. The book, on the other hand, leaves it to interpretation. And that's what I would have preferred with the film. And that's what I think would have made the film better, in my opinion. So I think, not necessarily all, because I haven't read the book in total, in its entirety, like I said, but I think that change at the climax, at the very least, in my opinion, is a flaw of the film. And it's a flaw that the book didn't have, because the book actually took the approach that I thought would have been the better approach. And as I was watching the film, is the approach I thought it might have taken. So, and that, like I said, that's a shame, because it does, in my opinion, it does hurt the film quite a lot. Because if I could have walked out of that cinema, having seen the entire film for what it was, and then have it linger on my mind and make me think about it, I love thought-provoking art. And there was an opportunity here for it to be one of those type of films. And that opportunity is quite clear when you then realise what the book actually did, because the book literally did it. And I think the film should have maintained that. And it'll be interesting to see those who are fans of the book and what their opinion on this film is, because if you really connect to that aspect of the book, then potentially you will be kind of upset with what happens in this film. And another thing I want to just point out as well is there were two couples. I witnessed two couples, so a total of four people walk out of that screening halfway through and never return, which is interesting. I always find it interesting when people decide to leave and never come back. And it happened quite early on. It wasn't even like near the end. It was like near the halfway point of the film. Some people just tapped out and left. And in some ways, bizarrely enough, I don't ever walk out of films. Not anymore. I think the only film I remember walking out of was The Artist back in 2011 when I saw that. And I was like 16 and it was a black and white silent film and I just wasn't feeling it. I had an early screening and I didn't pay for it and I walked out. I haven't walked out of a film in the cinema since then, I don't believe. But I can kind of, bizarrely enough, and like I said, I enjoyed most of this film. I enjoyed the experience of watching this film for the most part. Bizarrely enough, I almost feel like I can understand why those people did walk out. It's strange, but I don't know if I can fully explain it because the film felt frustrating at times. It's weird. It felt frustrating. And I can't even really put my finger on what it was that was really making it feel frustrating at times to endure. I don't know. And maybe once again, due to how it's handling its themes. And how it's kind of stringing you along and you're thinking you're going to, you know, you're starting to weigh up where this film may go and what the direction it may take. And then it cuts to a flashback and you're kind of like, I don't know if it's to do with that. I don't know if it's to do with the structure and its themes and how it's handled. But yeah, people walked out. And then I seen online that in America, of course, they've got what they call cinema score, where they track audience reception as they come out of the cinema in America, and it's called a cinema score. The rating that this film has currently got is a C, which is very low. And I believe it's one of Shyamalan's lowest cinema score ratings. So not all of the audience is vibing with this film. And it's not on the level of Mother. I don't think there's any film that's been as almost anxiety-inducing and frustrating to watch as Mother. Darren Aronofsky's film. But I almost felt a sense of that watching this film, where it was kind of like, where's this really going? And it kind of just got a little frustrating briefly. It's just, you know, just a little bit. And I think that might be a reason why those people left, because they got frustrated and they just decided, you know what, I'm not interested, and they left. It's just an interesting point to observe, really. I just wanted to mention that, just to put that in there. But what I will say about this film, Knock Out the Cabin, is essentially, if you want to see a film that is very suspenseful and is a well-made suspenseful thriller with great performances, then this is certainly that. But what I would also say is just don't expect too much from the story, because the film may present itself like it's got some grand mystery to it or some grand mystique to it, and it does to a degree, but then it kind of ends up being surprisingly simple compared to where it could have gone. And I think that will disappoint people. So that's something I just say to be aware of. If I was to give it a star rating, I would give it 3 stars out of 5. Like I said, it is very well made. I don't think you can really dispute how well made it is in terms of a filmmaking standpoint. You know, the cinematography, the use of the score, the performance within it, the direction, you know, it's very well made. But I just think it's let down by the way it handles its themes, particularly in its final moments. And the conclusion that it settles on, I think, doesn't fulfill the potential of what this narrative could have been. So yeah, that's my thoughts on Knock at the Cabin. And I do plan on doing a ranking very soon of M. Night Shyamalan's filmography. So you can look forward to that. And on the video game front, I'm playing Dead Space at the moment, one of my favorite games of all time. If you haven't heard my podcast episode about the original game, go back and listen to that. But I will be reviewing Dead Space very soon as well. Thank you for listening to this podcast, whether you listen to the whole thing or little segments of it. It's all appreciated in equal measure. And I'll see you guys in the next episode.